I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, if they wind up winning Summer League, it's going to go in on an extreme high note. But I think as long as no one gets injured, as long as, you know, nothing, you know, unforeseen, you know, and overly frustrating and upsetting and all of that happens, then I think we're going into the offseason on a high note. And I think that will carry fans to training camp feeling maybe better than they did if there had been no Summer League, and we had just gone in on free agency. Because remember, the last thing you saw, like something is never as bad or as good as the last time you saw it. So if the Sacramento Kings, let's go ultimate scenario. The Sacramento Kings go into the offseason, go into the, you know, post-Summer League version of the offseason, with a Summer League championship. Yeah, we might be glowing a little bit. We'll talk with maybe with a little bit more optimism than we would have had that not had that Summer League not happened. But we're past the point, I think, again, and this is barring injuries, we're past the point of the offseason starting bad. The post-Summer League offseason starting bad. So the idea of evaluating, as Scooter was talking about, Scott Perry after a couple of years, that's fine. You can do that. We will do that. But that doesn't mean we're not going to evaluate him after every trade, draft pick, offseason, trade deadline, free agency period, all of that. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. That looks like TC on the line. TC, what's up, baby?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers, man?
Ain't nothing, brother. What's going on?
Hey, man, just tapping in. So, hey, before we go, hey, so I was already hyped about what Perry, I get it. I was already hyped about what Perry was doing anyway by just getting hired and coming in and making the moves he did, right? So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to let everything pan out. But I think Perry is doing a great job, in my opinion, though. For my King fandom, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesse, to answer your question yesterday, bro, I don't like that dude, bro. I've been told y'all about Kyle. And that's why Juwan won his money. I heard the question that you asked when I got off the line yesterday. I'm over Kyle, bro. And I used to be the biggest
To be clear, TC, you're talking about Kyle Shanahan.
The Kyle Shanahan. And I used to be big on Kyle, bro. That's the thing. I wasn't over. I'm just over that guy, bro. We're not going to win nothing with that dude. And out of that, we can go over and over and back and forth. Well, why I don't like him, TC? He did this, he did that. We haven't won nothing with dude, bro. So my feelings is my feelings about him, though, bro. So that's why I talk like that.
I think Jesse's point, TC, was Scott Perry has been on the job for 80 days, and you're glowing about what he's done, including, which I guess is Dennis Schroeder and Dario Saric and Drew Eubanks and these two young brothers that we're watching in Summer League. Meanwhile, Kyle Shanahan has been to multiple Super Bowls, and you can't stand him.
That's just how the cookie crumble, bro.
Okay. All right. Appreciate you, TC.
Stand on it.
Is that Bruce Almighty? What's isn't that a Bruce Almighty line?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen Bruce Almighty in a while. Jim Carrey, right?
A minute ago. Yeah, Jim Carrey. And
who is Evan Almighty? That was part two, but was that a different
that
one?
That was Steve Carell, wasn't it?
Steve Carell, was it? I don't
remember. I think so. I could have that wrong, but I think so. All right, DC standing on business. I don't agree with him, but my man is standing on business for sure. I know there's one thing, you know, when we were talking about this team having talent, I tend to focus a lot on DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, and I often forget that Dennis Schroeder is here. He is the Sacramento King. He's been introduced as the Sacramento King. And I like Dennis Schroeder. I think there's a lot that he can do for this basketball team. I think he has the ability to score. I think he has the ability to facilitate. I think he has the ability to set the table and organize and do all of that stuff. Like, I think that Dennis Schroeder can do a lot of good things for this basketball team. And so it goes into, and this is the tough part. This is the most difficult part, I think, about what Scott Perry said to Sean Cunningham about this basketball team needing time. It's this fan base has done nothing but give this organization time. I say this repeatedly. Do not ever tell a Sacramento Kings fan to be patient. This is the most patient fan base, perhaps in any professional sport. This Kings franchise, for the better part of their existence in Sacramento, has been terrible. Not just bad. Not, oh, almost. Terrible. There's a generation of Warriors fans that are Warriors fans because why the hell would you be a Sacramento Kings fan? They're awful. So while I agree with Scott, and I'm all in on the idea of this basketball team needing time together, I thought he handled that perfectly because he knew to not ask for patience. Because there is no more patient fan base in the league or perhaps professional sports than the Sacramento Kings fan base. This is the same fan base that packed the Golden 1 Center, enchanted beat LA before the very first California Classic. A preseason summer league game, essentially. Packed. This is the same fan base that showed up to the first playoff game in 17 years, 6 hours before it started, 7 hours before it started. The same fan base that packed the Golden 1 Center and Doco right outside the arena after a summer league game to watch Lil Jon. This fan base has exercised a lot of patience. Hopefully, this is a basketball team that can find their legs with each other really quickly. Hopefully, Doug Christie can find, and that's, you know, that's that is low key a difficult task that Doug Christie has. When he took over this basketball team at the end of December, he knew what he had. Which is why Doug deserves, in my opinion, at least, and I have admitted and will not shy away from the fact that I'm not really impartial when it comes to Doug Christie. But this is one of the reasons I think he did a fantastic job. When he took over that group, when he took over this group, when we took over the Sacramento Kings in December, he knew exactly what he had. That changed, and it changed quickly. And he had to adjust. Now, a lot of coaches have to do that. This is a trade deadline. It's nothing new. Trades happen all the time. Coaches have to adjust. But it's probably a bit unusual to make that seismic of an adjustment days after you get the job. And so Doug is going to have to find his legs pretty quickly when it comes to coaching this team. Thankfully, he has the run-up of, you know, 30-something games last year with Zach LaVine. Obviously, you know, Doug coached like 60 games or whatever it was last year, 50 games or whatever it was. But after DeMar DeRozan got, or excuse me, after Zach LaVine got here, he has that run-up of games where it's like, okay, all right, I know what I have in Zach LaVine. I know what I have in DeMar DeRozan, Keegan, all of these different guys. All right. We're working in Dennis Schroeder. We got some of these rookies. Every coach has to adjust to their draft picks and to having rookies on the team. Those are adjustments now that Doug Christie is going to have to make. And I'm looking forward to it. Again, this isn't a bad basketball team. This isn't the, you know, the bright, shiny beam in the sky. But this isn't a bad squad either. It's just a question of, will they play bad, in my mind? Will the mesh of players, where this awkward mix of group of guys, lead to really bad basketball? Some will say that's what happened last year. I think there's a little bit more to it than that. I actually think there's a lot more to it than that. Though a lot of the basketball we saw last year was not pretty.
Well, we know early on who this team is, like pretty much, I don't want to say like the first week of the season because that's not fair, but I feel like a lot of it last year was like, oh yeah, a lot of just throwing on the fly, no point guard, this, this, and that. You got the point guard there, a little training camp to work with and all that. Like, so are we going to know early on who this team is?
I feel like it. Yeah, I feel like it because the key components are back. And Dennis Schroeder's really important. Like, don't, you know, not trying to minimize this at all. But LaVine, DeMar, Zach, Keegan, those guys, Keon, like, this isn't it's the exact opposite of a young squad going out there trying to learn things together. No. This is where things are difficult for Nick and Max and Dennis and guys that are new to the team, and even Devin Carter to a certain degree. Y'all better get caught up because Zach's got to figure some things out. DeMar's got to figure some things out. Domas has got to figure some things out. Keegan's got to figure some things out. And you've got to incorporate Dennis and Neek and Max and all of these other guys because they're going to have to figure things out along the way. And the hope is through the course of a training camp and through the course of a preseason, they can figure these things out together. There's a significantly bigger benefit to figuring these things out when you're all together. This is a really important preseason for them. Really, really important. So it becomes, all right, you might not love the future of this basketball team, but you've got something this year. Championship contender, probably not, but this team can compete. They can compete in the conference for a playoff spot. They absolutely can. There's no reason, and we'll talk more about this later, there's no reason this basketball team should finish below 500 in my estimation. I understand that isn't the largest of, you know, that's not the most significant bar you're setting right there, but they shouldn't. They finished 40-42. That was awful. They should not have been that bad. And there's excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse to why they were that bad. They can't be that bad anymore. A couple of quick notes here. We've got some things going on here at the Odyssey Studios. So coming up at 3 o'clock, Kyle Mattson's going to take over the show and Matt George is going to join him. So all of those usual Locked On Kings conversations that you normally get on a Thursday, you're going to get those. It's just Kyle Mattson's going to step in place for me while I go be a corporate D-Lo for the afternoon. So that's coming up at 3 o'clock. We've got a lot more to talk about before then, including what are the biggest stories remaining for this NBA offseason? There's probably a lot more than you think. And we'll talk about those when D-Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD. Pod One on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, shout out to our brother Mark and his wife Francesca. They too are celebrating an anniversary today, 23 years from Mark and Francesca. So happy anniversary, you two, much like our man James Hamm and his beautiful wife Sarah. They're celebrating their anniversary today, man. So Happy anniversary to all of y'all.
Shout out to love out there.
Shout out to love.
See the Coldplay stuff yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's tough.
They didn't make it, but you know what? We know people who did.
That's tough. So for those who didn't see, so there's a video out there. So that guy is a part of Coldplay?
No, he's a CEO of some big company or whatever. He was just in the suite, but he was at the Coldplay concert.
Oh, it was the Coldplay concert.
They were doing the thing where let's take the video camera, I guess, or whatever, around the arena, and it landed on the wrong one. Apparently. I literally open up Twitter right now, and it's the first video that pops up.
Yeah, he got caught. Wait, okay, that's worth putting on the screen. Let's see if let me share the screen. I always wonder when you see those types of things. Man, this new layout is confusing as hell. Where is the? Is it this?
Yeah, I got it.
Do you got? What button is it? Jesus Christ! All right, thank God I got a producer. All right. Here's the video. For those that are watching, whoops. And it's cooking. Oh, Lord.
You can't just, there's no seats there, pal. Where are you going?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh. And then the best part,
friend
right here, she knows everything about it, too, people were saying.
I'm so used to this stuff being a work, but there was enough follow-up
that was like, goes.
This is not a work.
Yeah, and then this was one of my favorite parts to watch. Little buddy who pops up.
Oh,
not even right here. This guy right here is not even knowing the situation. Oh, at the Coldplay concert, so happy. Yeah, I love Coldplay.
Well, that's love of a different variety.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah.
There's always just the golden rule: just don't ever be the main character on Twitter.
Oh, man.
Those two people are part of the main character. That's part of the clip of the year so far.
That's tough, man. Bro just thought he was going to take his little side piece out to the Coldplay concert and have a good little time. And now his entire world is blown up.
Yeah, I guess the lead singer or whoever it was for Coldplay was like, oh, yeah, I hope we didn't do anything wrong.
Well.
You didn't, but...
And the part of the story is he's the CEO of something, and
she leads HR.
Oh man,
that's like the thing too. Yeah, she's head of HR.
Oh man,
classic Ime Udoka situation.
Oh, the memes are tough. The memes are tough, man. Yeah. The opposite sex is a powerful drug, man. That man risked it all.
I wonder what that's like now, though, to just, like, now you've gone viral, and you were the talk of all of social media, whether it be, I'm sure, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Like, it's just,
yeah,
like this is your, not moment, but it's just like,
nah.
The heat is all like, I wonder what that's like.
Y'all got to get married now.
Yeah.
This is worse than, like, getting a girl pregnant outside of your marriage and going, oh, babe, I guess we got to get married. No. We just got outed on Twitter. We have to spend together forever.
Well, because it's like, too, like, there's no phone calls for you to make. Like, I'm sure everyone you want to call, oh, yeah, so, like, they already know. They knew as soon as they opened up Twitter.
Hey, this is a great question. So who in that situation gets fired?
Oh, it's the HR lady. I'm sorry.
Like, so the girl, the
see, the higher-up's never going to show.
But the girl who was with the CEO is the head of HR.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Not the exact title, but it's like something in charge of people or something like that.
Oh, that's great. That is absolutely terrific. So good, man. Soren, you cheated on me when I specifically asked you not to? Yeah, that's a good line right there.
See, we can all enjoy it, and no one's going to ruin it by pretending they know what it is.
Oh, man. I cannot wait to see how this story... Brother... Can you imagine?
Well, his wife took his last name out of her Facebook box. We know that.
Can you imagine having to tell people, yeah, man, a Coldplay concert changed my life?
Probably not the first person to say that. But also, like, isn't it so crazy how they just, within like 10 minutes, I felt like with this video being out there, just everyone knew who he was, who she was, who the wife was. That's another part where it's like, I feel like social media kind of jumps the gun or whatever. It's like, you don't got to be sending this stuff to his wife.
Oh, yeah, there are people who can't wait to tag.
Oh, yeah, like I'm saying, I was on Facebook, that's where I saw it, or whatever. Like, people posting on Twitter, it's like people tagging her on Facebook, and that she took her last name out of there and stuff like that. It's a whole thing.
Cannot wait to tattle. Jake says, damn, the HR lady has to fire herself for misconduct. That's too bad. The videos are, yeah, social media is funny. The internet is funny. Like, I told this story at the live show. Katie and I were together just quietly doing our thing. And then there were like things that started to hit pieces of the internet that really upset her. And it was like, well, no one really knows what's going on. Like, we have to tell them. And so we just made the decision maybe a little bit quicker than we wanted to. But hey, just acknowledge we're together. And whatever you say on the internet after that doesn't matter. But if we keep avoiding it, then maybe it becomes a bigger thing.
It was low-key a moment on D'Lo and KC.
Was it?
Yes, for this simple fact of you're pretty closed off, I feel.
It was
the show, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It was I think the best thing about it from my point, like, it wasn't planned. It literally was, because she was really, really upset that day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just called her before the show. I was like, hey, I'm just going to acknowledge we're together. Like, I don't know when and I don't know how, but I think we're just better off if we just tell people we're together. And that
me and Casey had no clue, by the way, like, for the chatty house stuff. You were talking, like, oh, okay, this is what's going on.
Yeah, like, because, like, you know what it was is, like, I was reading the start of the show, and it's like, yeah, we're kind of just hanging out. We're not really doing anything, so I'm just going to take this opportunity to tell you. And, yeah, I didn't even know, like, if it went over very well. I just felt like I needed to say it for her because she was really, really upset. And I said, the second we acknowledge it, we take the power out of their hands. And so that's why it became, again, it was a little sooner than we would have liked, but we did it. And then she, you know, acknowledged it shortly thereafter. And then obviously, you know, we have no problem, you know, sharing it with people now and having it on social media and all of that. But I also had a business decision to make of my own. I may have lived a closed off life. I may have kept my personal life off the air.
Yeah.
She does not. I was referenced on that show about 7 times today. I was called at 5:45 in the morning for a bit. So it's just kind of, you know, like, her radio show is a whole lot different than this radio show. So, you know, it was, all right, you got to embrace it. You live a different life now. That's what I tell Kyle all the time. I live a different life than I used to.
Yeah, like, one day you're just chilling, and the next day you end up with 500 Easter eggs.
That's it. 500 Easter eggs for the three beautiful young ladies that are now living in my house. So, now living in our house. And I love those girls, man. These girls are, like, the best. Like, having kids in my life for the first time ever is amazing. One of them is 16. She's the dopest 16-year-old ever. Like, she's so sweet. She has her mom's sense of humor. She has her mom's wit. Like, she is incredibly quick. She loves The Office. We will regularly quote Office lines to each other like you and I do. Her 11-year-old is insanely talented. Like, she's like a Broadway star level talent. The 4-year-old is just like Katie. Like, if you just took Katie and made her 4, that's who Morgan is. And it is, it's an amazing experience to have kids. Like, my niece and nephew were amazing parts of my life, but they were in San Francisco. You know, my godchildren have always been amazing parts of my life, but having kids, particularly young ones like 4 and 11, in my day-to-day life is just a joy that I'd honestly thought I would never have. And I'm very, very thankful to her and to them for that.
Stevie B 916, good point. We're going to get a reality show, Odyssey reality show, maybe?
We've been pushing the Odyssey reality show for 2 years.
Facts. We even got an intro. Do need to
we do
need to fix that up, Zabo. You need to take out some characters and add some characters, but we do have an intro.
Yeah,
we got to cut at least three of them out of there.
We sure do. There are some major edits coming to that Odyssey.
Tribal Chief, The Rock, Kim.
Yeah, well, Kim can stay.
All right, Kim can stay. Yeah.
Yeah, Kim can stay because she'll always Kim will always be at the gatherings whether she works here. But it'll be one of those things where it's, and also, Kimberly Taylor, like she'll be there.
Yeah.
That's where she'll be in the chat. But yeah, Zay, we got some updating to do to that video. In any event, shout out Love and I guess shout out Coldplay. Are you gonna have kids? Have you guys? I'm sure you've talked about it.
What's the plan?
You're going to have kids?
Yeah, I'm a big family guy, stuff. It means a lot to me. So,
how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I just got one younger brother.
Oh, okay.
He's like 4 years younger than me, but he's old now, so it's just my brother, I guess.
Do you want a bigger family?
Nah, just two kids and I'm done after that.
Okay.
Third one's an accident, but two and I'm done. Let's keep it real.
I got you. We've had, there's been conversations about another one. It's like, dude, no. We can't. Like, I love Kit. Like, this is amazing. I can't go from
I can't go from
0 to 5.
Chatty House, let me talk to Chatty. Can you imagine just you coming to talk to us one day, like, yeah, I've been up since 1 o'clock with the baby, blah, blah, blah. Can you imagine that content from D-Lo?
Oh, man. Shoot, I feel like that's the case now, but yeah, I hear you. 0 to 5 in a quick stretch is That's a lot. That might have something to do with why I was at the doctor the other day, but we'll save that. We'll save that for later. We've been talking about this NBA offseason for the last 90 minutes or so, but we've centered it pretty much on the Sacramento Kings. And I asked the question, like, what are the biggest stories remaining in the NBA offseason? And as I was kind of workshopping this, I was like, man, I don't know how many there are. So I just started to kind of look up like, hey, what's ahead? Hey, you know, what hasn't been done? And I realized there actually might be a few things we're going to be talking about over the course of the next couple of months. The obvious one is LeBron and whatever his future is. With the Los Angeles Lakers, it doesn't feel like we've hit a fever pitch. It feels like we're just scratching the surface of what might be ahead, and of course it's impossible to tell. Like, Rich Paul's talking about 4 teams have contacted him. LeBron is off enjoying his summer. It's like, all right. He was courtside, said, I don't have anything to talk about. It feels like maybe there's some passive aggressive behavior. It feels like maybe he's a little frustrated. It feels like he might not be happy. He might be disrespected. But we haven't hit a peak yet. I'm actually of the belief we won't, but it's LeBron, it's the Lakers, and so we're going to watch it. Even if we don't want to, they're going to force us to pay attention to what LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers are doing. So that's one story, probably the biggest, though it might not be anything. I think there's something to be said for, like, what happens to all of these unsigned vets that are out there. Chris Paul said at the Fanatics thing that he wants to play at least one more season. Chris Paul ain't on the team yet. But Chris Paul is one of, one, many players, two, many point guards that aren't on the team yet. I know Russell Westbrook is near the end of his career, but I didn't think he was at the end of it. He doesn't have a team yet.
How much of those guys not having a team has to do with the fact that this trade market is just not there and teams weren't able to move off of guys that maybe they would have?
Oh, I think a lot. Yeah, I think a lot.
Like, I'm sure there's a team out there for CP3, but that team just hasn't been able to move off of player X and move right now.
Yeah, I don't, you know, we talk a lot about how, like, I think the Sacramento Kings can sign Russell Westbrook, but I don't think they can do it as it stands right now. Like, and what is the Al Horford situation? I know Al Horford was mulling retirement. It sure sounded like he was going to the Golden State Warriors for a little bit, but they're waiting, perhaps.
I think Al is just chilling right now, taking his time.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to sign with anyone right now. But the problem is, if he wants to play and someone changes their mind, then what winds up happening with him? He clearly has suitors. You also have the restricted free agents, think are certainly a fascinating thing to follow. What happens with the likes of Jitty, Jonathan Kuminga, Cam Thomas? These are all good basketballers. What happens with those guys? I think that story to follow, because if the market stays still, then you've got teams, for maybe lack of a better term, stuck with certain players. Has Gary Payton II signed? Is he just out there? I mean,
he's a free agent, Kyle Mattson says.
He's still a free agent. Like, that's GP's a good basketball player. How does this all shake out over the next couple of months? I think restricted free agency is particularly fascinating because, these are mostly young players. Like, Jonathan Kuminga is a young player. Josh Giddey is a young player. Josh Giddey, we've tried to point out the difference between these two, Josh Giddey and Jonathan Kuminga, a couple of times. Giddey seems to be wanted by Chicago. Chicago is playing the market game. They're like, hey, man, all right, like, wait it out, see what it is. You want this, we can afford this, we just chilling. When you get that offer, we'll react. It ain't that those offers are not coming. I don't think a single offer sheet has been signed this offseason. Not one. Not for Kuminga. Not for Giddey, not for any of these guys. And then the obvious difference between these two teams is there's no indication that the Warriors want Jonathan Kuminga, the basketball player. They want to use Jonathan Kuminga as an asset. They don't want the basketball player. They don't want that man. They don't want that guy around. But they're trying to utilize him as an asset. I don't know how big of an asset you are if no one is offering you anything. I don't know how big of an asset you are if there's no market for you. So teams are going to be left with really difficult decisions. And part of me is starting to wonder, are we heading into maybe a week leading into training camp, or the weeks leading into training camp, and just a flurry of these deals get done where guys have to make the decision, do I want to play professional basketball this year? Cannot state this enough. Have never seen anything like this.
Is this a bad thing? This feels...
I don't think it's a good thing.
Well, yeah, because I don't know if this is extreme. It feels kind of like the NBA's had an NFL offseason where it's like... There's Josh Giddey, I think, asking what he's asking for any time before I don't think that wouldn't have been an issue. I guess before this new CBA and stuff like that. But it's now, it's like... Yeah, just we're not going to pay you that just because there's no need to, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So like now these guys are just... taking low-value contracts. Like, is Josh Giddey going to get paid after this? Is there going to be a new market for Josh Giddey or even Jonathan Kuminga or these guys after this? Or is this just what we're dealing with going forward?
Man, I do not know. I don't know. Like, this is, we talked about that. We talked about that escrow account that went south, literally and figuratively. We talked about the cap. the cap only going up 7% versus the 10% that everyone would expect. And those are two very odd things for the NBA, especially in a year, or especially in the financial news that have seems to have been so positive. Now, remember, all of that TV money that we read about, TNT, NBC, or I guess TNT isn't a part of it anymore, NBC, Amazon, ABC, all of that stuff that we have read exhaustively about over the last year, that hasn't kicked in yet. That money goes into play next season. So I don't know how any of that factors in. Adam Silver said something really interesting. This will probably tie into a conversation that we have tomorrow, but he has repeated time and time again, NBA teams have to figure out a way to end these regional sports broadcasts. To put it in terms related to us, Adam Silver has said the Sacramento Kings have to figure out a way to get away from NBC Sports California. Basketball teams need to get away from NBC Sports Regional Networks, was it Bally Sports, whatever local revenue station you're using is failing in the grand scheme. Adam Silver clearly believes there is a bigger and greater plan for teams to make money that doesn't involve the likes of NBC Sports California. I think I know what that is, but I don't know for sure. I think, given the way Adam Silver seems to think and he is a forward-thinking technology guy. I assume this means something involving streaming. My frustration with streaming is it is not universal. I know we take for granted that high-speed internet is, in fact, available everywhere. It is very much not. I know it doesn't feel like that, but it's not. And so if you're streaming, if you're leaning on streaming, how do you get this done? Well, the answer is probably what the NFL did. The answer, the NFL leans on a streaming model. They lean on YouTube TV for Sunday Ticket. And I think that's what Adam Silver is looking at when it comes to Sacramento watching the Sacramento Kings, the Bay Area watching the Golden State Warriors, and so on and so forth. Because clearly he has looked at the numbers. Clearly he has looked at what the Sacramento Kings generate from NBC Sports California. Clearly he has looked at what these different basketball teams generate revenue-wise from their local television broadcaster. And he has been able to determine that's not enough. He has been adamant about this for at least a year and a half, that this is not the way that we should go. And I'm sure in a financial year that has been, at least for us on the outside, as unpredictably bad as it has been, he's looking at all of this like, hey, 7% versus 10%. Hey, Steph Curry lost $5 million. Hey, your best player lost whatever percentage, 5%, whatever it is, off of their contract because of this. That's because of our basketball-related income. We have collectively failed at this. We have been united on every front except this one, and it's costing us money. And if there was ever a time for Adam Silver to get the owner's attention, or the decision makers for each franchise, there was ever an opportunity to get their attention, it's when the money is bad. It's when the money is bad, and this is the second part of the conversation. Expansion is on the horizon. Because he has said enough over the last 2 days to give the impression, for the first time, that expansion is not a given. We have convinced ourselves that it is, but Adam was smart in the way he orchestrated that a couple of days ago during his press conference. We'll talk more about that. And I said, there's a couple of more pretty big stories that could take place. There's a couple of other big stories to watch, whether they happen or they don't. They'll be major stories. We'll talk about what those are when Dilo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shout out to the Chatty House, man. Sometimes I think they're just off in their own world, not paying attention to anything. And then I make a vague reference about going to the doctor after talking about kids, and they all picked up on exactly why I was there. I love y'all. I love y'all so much, man. There was a good question right here. Mark asked, D'Lo, is Adam Silver the best of the pro sports commissioners? In my opinion, absolutely. He's also not involved in any scandal, which I don't think can be said for Roger Goodell. I've got some takes on that situation, but I think I'm going to hold off on those till tomorrow. Obviously, we talked about what is going on with the NFL and the NFL Players Association earlier this week, and Kyle hit me up first thing this morning and was like, hey, Pablo dropped part two of that podcast. And it keeps getting worse. Like, it keeps. This is so bad. What is happening with the NFL and the NFL Players Association is so, so bad. I said to you earlier in the week, this is one of the biggest sports scandals I've ever seen. And I don't know if people don't understand it, or calling back to what we were talking about earlier this week, people just don't care. Because I can guarantee you, if this was the National Basketball Association, oh, man, would the pitchforks be out. If this was the national one, I don't think this would happen in the National Basketball Association, because that players union is too strong and they're not bitches to the owners the way that the NFL is. The NFL Players Association is and always has been the weakest association in American sports. Do you know how bad you have to be to be worse than Major League Baseball? Do you know how bad you have to be worse than the Players Association, who everyone said in 2020, well, baseball's, they're going to be the first ones up and running. They're going to be the first ones to get their league back on track. They're going to be the first ones to figure this whole, you know, COVID thing out and all of this. Nope. We had a 110-game season. We had an 80-game season before it finally got to the point we can't have a season less than, what was it, 60 games before they finally got themselves together, got a deal done, and got back on the field. Do you know how bad you have to be worse than them? That's the NFL Players Association. They had a executive director elected right under their nose. They had an executive director who was a part of one of the biggest scandals in American business history. NFL didn't care. NFL Players Association probably didn't even know. But the question to those two things is why and why. That's something we're going to have to talk a little bit about tomorrow, because I'm going to lay this out meticulously and cook the NFL, cook their players, and cook that whole damn league. I can't wait to talk about that. And if you haven't caught up, it's a mess. An absolute mess. Go to ESPN.com. It'll be right there for you. Because now people are starting to cover it. Now that Pablo Torre and Mike Florio have done a couple of podcasts on it, now the real journalists out there are starting to do journalistic work. And they're finding out some absolutely amazing things. So we'll talk about that situation with the NFL and the NFLPA a little bit more tomorrow. You could kind of see this coming if you've been paying attention. Caitlin Clark almost certainly came back from her groin injury way too early. Fast forward to now, where Caitlin Clark has aggravated her groin injury. Fast forward to this exact moment where people are conveying, including our very own Trista Crick, on Indiana for the WNBA All-Star Game, to find out Caitlin Clark can't be a part of it. She can't be a part of the three-point contest that was being billed as, you know, Caitlin versus Sabrina. She can't be a part of that game that is in her home city. It's her home team city. She can't be a part of that, any of that stuff. They were smart in that she put out a statement through the Fever's social media channel, say, hey, I'm excited to host all of the festivities, meaning I'll still be there, I'll still be around, but she's not going to be able to be a part of any of the things that she was advertised for. And that's a bummer for the people in Indiana. That's a bummer for Caitlin. That's a bummer for any WNBA fan. That would have been electric to have her out there at the three-point contest against Sabrina Ionescu. I feel like the Fever, obviously the Fever are out there trying to win basketball games. I feel like they could have done a better job monitoring this. This feels like just a bit of a miss. And I'm positive Caitlin wanted to get back out there. I'm positive Caitlin wanted to get back out there and help her team win basketball games. And you absolutely put your basketball team before All-Star festivities. But this is tough, because she's out for the All-Star game. She probably should be out beyond the All-Star game, but that's a decision her and the Fever are going to have to make moving forward. We were talking about phone lines are open for you if you want to hang out. 916-909-1320. We were talking about some of the biggest stories remaining in the NBA offseason. We talked about the LeBron situation. We talked about the situation involving free agents, some of the veterans that are out there, the Chris Pauls, the Russell Westbrooks. We talked about what's going to happen with restricted free agents, Josh Giddey, Jonathan Kuminga, Quentin Grimes, some of those guys who I don't think there has just been no movement whatsoever on offer sheets or anything like that for some of these guys. And how these situations wind up getting resolved will be fascinating to watch. Speculated that perhaps in the week or weeks leading into training camp, there's just a flurry of deals, because players as well as teams have to decide, well, we're not losing him for nothing. And the players deciding, well, we're not playing basketball. I'm not playing basketball. So what's the offer? And it's not going to be anything that they want. They're going to want to sign short-term deals. They want to get out of this as soon as possible. Maybe just accept qualifying offer, whatever it is. Like, this is, again, borderline uncharted territory, not for players, but for this amount of players across the league. Some other big stories to watch, I think, involve extensions. One being, does Kevin Durant, who is in the final year of his deal, does he sign an extension with the Houston Rockets? Does he decide before the season starts, this is where I want to play the next handful of years? Because I'm not of the belief that Houston made this deal with Kevin Durant with a... Now, I could absolutely be wrong, but I don't think they made this deal with a wink-wink agreement that he was going to sign a contract extension. I'm sure that has been discussed, and I'm sure the door is open for that, but I don't think this is Anthony Davis going to Los Angeles. I don't think this is Kevin Love going to Cleveland, where everyone knew Anthony Davis was signing with the Los Angeles Lakers when the trade was made, even though he waited for the money to go up that offseason. Everyone knew Kevin Love was going to sign with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Everybody knew that, even though he wasn't legally allowed to until that offseason. Everybody knew it was happening. I don't think that's what's happening with Kevin Durant in Houston. I think Houston has a great shot at signing Kevin Durant to an extension, but I think that will be an interesting story to follow, because if there's no extension signed, then that puts a lot of pressure on this Houston Rockets team to be successful this year. Now, granted, there is already a lot of pressure on Houston to be successful this year. This was a basketball team that won 50 games. This was the 2 seed last year. This was a team that was referenced for a solid year as a destination for Kevin Durant. For my money, one of the most famous Woj tweets of all time. Woj tweets absolutely out of nowhere that the Houston Rockets have the assets to acquire Kevin Durant, and then he just left. Never followed up on it, said it a year ago. No one knew what he was talking about, just mentioned it and left. And all of a sudden this offseason, Houston makes the deal, lands Kevin Durant. I think he's going to sign an extension there. But if he doesn't, again, puts a lot of pressure on the Rockets to be successful. Not only successful, but it puts a lot of pressure on the Rockets to experience one of the ultimate levels of success. If you've got Kevin Durant, you've got him from 1 year, and you've got to find a way to win him over, you probably got to get to the Western Conference Finals. You got to show that you can compete with the likes of the Oklahoma City Thunder. We've outlined repeatedly how masterfully constructed the Oklahoma City Thunder salary cap situation is. And despite the fact they signed a bunch of guys to what amounts to $700-something million dollars this offseason, they have it constructed beautifully.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.